Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. In this message, I want to talk about the weapons of our warfare. The weapons of our warfare is a phrase we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible speaks of the weapons of our warfare and casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge or the word of God, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3 through 6, for Paul writes concerning this fight of the good fight of faith that we fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or physical, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're going to look into what that means. A lot of people have that meaning, pulling down demons. A lot of the spiritual warfare that's been perpetrated over the last several decades by the Word of Faith cult and the New Apostolic Reformation cult are completely erroneous, because Paul is not speaking here about pulling down demons necessarily. He's speaking about what he says next in verse 5, casting down imaginations, false images. Notice the root word of imaginations is image. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. That's another clue to what he's talking about. Our thoughts align with the thoughts of God, which is the Word of God. Isaiah 55 says our thoughts are not His thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And he says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And Scripture tells us in Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you see, the way that the demons, Satan and his fallen angels that wage war against God and His people, the way they have a stronghold, which is like a foothold into the believer's life, is through vain and false notions and philosophy and imagination, something other than the Word of God. Because you see, the Word of God is the constitution of God, and we must ask ourselves on a continual basis if, in fact, the written Word of God is the constitution of our lives. It's a lifetime process, Saints, and we're to cast down imaginations. When we see something different than what we've been believing in the past, as we study the Word of God, we must be willing to be corrected by the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, the Word of God is given to us for four pillar purposes. Doctrine, that is pure doctrine, God's doctrine. You know, in the Scriptures, we have the doctrines of men, we have the doctrines of devils, and we have the doctrine of God. Those are all verbatim phrases, words found in the New Testament Scriptures. And so we're to allow the doctrine of God to be our doctrine, the final divine authority of our lives, in the context of the whole of Holy Scripture. And that comes about by what I call H-O-T study. Amen. H-O-T, we need to get hot, man. What does that stand for? Honest, organic, and thorough. Amen. We've got a post or two on that on SafeguardYourSoul.com. So casting down imaginations, one of the ways we do that is we allow ourselves to be corrected. The four pillar purposes of the Word of God, according to 2 Timothy 3:16, is doctrine, correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness. So correction, we're to be corrected by the Word of God. You know, if we've previously believed something that we were led to believe, a lot of times we're led to believe things by other men who overemphasize certain things and underemphasize other things in order to promulgate or perpetrate their system of theology. Dispensationalism, that cult is very much of a good example for that, where they overemphasize certain things, the eternal security frauds that perpetrate their evil wares on people. And people don't study the Word themselves, and they want to believe that they're secure no matter what they do, because they're lawless counterfeits who refuse the cross that Jesus said you must take up to follow Him. And so they love this. He said, my people love to have it this way, or love to have it so, Jeremiah 5:31. Why? Because it gives them a sense of security in their rebellion instead of them having to truly repent, lay down their lives, and deny themselves daily and follow Christ to the end of their life. They're totally allergic to personal responsibility and truly following Jesus for real. And so they love these lies, and they're not interested in investigating the full contents of God's Word honestly and sincerely through thorough study and a crying out to God for every bad imagination, every image of God that they have that's false to be corrected. So we must cast down first in ourselves imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, everything that is trying to exalt itself above the authority, the final divine authority of God's Word, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought must be the thought of God as He's given to us in His words. Again, I hearken back to the thoughts of His heart, which we have on record. That's what the psalmist in Psalm 33:11 called the Word of God. The counsel of God is the thoughts of His heart. And upon the canvas of our hearts, those thoughts, those which are given to us, which are recorded from Genesis to Revelation, are to be the thoughts of our heart. Lest we have a wicked, a false image, that is imagination, imagination, if you will, that is not of God. Colossians 2:8 tells us, beware lest any man spoil you or ruin you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Let me repeat that we have at least three types of doctrine in the world today, and perhaps one, two, or three of them are in us still. We must be aware of that as long as we're on earth and examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. And being in the faith pertains to getting everything we believe and trusting God based on what He said. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we must cast down these imaginations and every high thing, everything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge or the Word of God. Again, Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil or ruin you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the thinking of the world. There are the doctrines of men, Mark 7, where he said the false religionists of his day, and boy, do we not have this today. Wow. There's no new thing under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1:9. He said to them that they set aside the commandment, that means the written Word of God, to keep their own tradition, and they exalted their own doctrines above the doctrine, the Word of God. Also, we have doctrines of devils. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing. The devil is a seducer, amen? Seducing spirits, that's demons, and doctrines of devils. That's 1 Timothy 4:1-2. And then thirdly, the doctrine of God or the doctrine of Christ. If any man does not continue after being saved in the doctrine of Christ, in other words, a revelation of Jesus Christ and His kingdom according to Holy Scripture, he hath not God. He's a lost soul again. He has departed from the faith. That's 2 John 7-11. It's actually verse 9. Also, Titus 2:10, speaking of the doctrine of God, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. The word doctrine appears 51 times in the Bible. It's very important what you believe and know why you believe what you believe. And the only way that's going to happen, beloved, is if you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's how you discern. Instead of us having to expose every false teacher on the horizon, which would be an endless endeavor, as you well know. Many of you, a lot of times we get emails, hey, have you exposed such and such? And sometimes I feel prompted to look into it and maybe put something out there about it. Basically putting the word of God next to what some false teacher is teaching. But, you know, sometimes I'll suggest to the people emailing, why don't you do a search and examination of this person's doctrines and put it against the word of God yourself, like the Bereans did in Acts 17, 10 and 11, where they took what Paul taught and they judged and tested everything he taught according to the word of God. That's what we're to be. God called them more noble. And so what we want to do in the ministry here is teach people to discern, to study, to show their own self-approved unto God so that they're able to rightly divide the word of truth when it comes in any form, fashion, whether it's through a lady, a man, a mean guy, a nice guy, a well-dressed guy, or otherwise. None of that actually matters. We're judging everything against the word of God. We're casting down. See, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God that are pulling down a stronghold. And that is via the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. And we're casting down imaginations and every high thing, everything that exalteth itself, everything trying to put itself above the word of God. Recently, I dealt with a senior pastor, got a few locations. They're trying to be a mega church, you know, enterprise. They've got two at least locations. And a younger guy that's in ministry under this guy, this senior pastor, is got an issue of unforgiveness, okay? Whatever that sin might be is kind of immaterial. Well, the pastor chose whatever he chose above the word of God not to deal with the sin that is right under him and that he is responsible to deal with in this younger pastor in his group, in his ministry organization. So whatever that younger pastor told him, he put that above the word of God. Jesus said, if you don't forgive your father, neither will your father forgive you. In other words, all of your sins from birth are still against you. If you've been saved and now you've entered into this realm of unforgiveness, you have a hardened heart, you have hatred in you, you're not walking in the love of God. That's just an example. But the senior pastor chose to forego and to refuse to deal with this sin, this soul-damning sin, in his younger understudy, which shows us this guy is a false teacher. He has allowed something else to be the final divine authority, something else other than the word of God. The Apostle Paul said, let God be true, that is the word of God, and every man a liar. Jesus said, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my words shall never pass away. That means it will never be changed. God is eternally perfect and forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. It's a settled issue. Okay? Which side are you going to be on? Jesus said, he that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you are not of God. John 8:47, you're of God or not of God based on whether or not you're going to hear the word of God. And let's just say this. I'm just going to speak as a man. You know, the more I learn, the more I realize I really don't know. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you're young, you learn a few things and then you think you got this thing by the tail. Wow. And God has a way of bringing you down for a landing flat on your face to realize we have so much to learn and we must rely on and live by the final divine authority of the word of our God. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. God will not alter the thing that is going out of his lips. Remember that one? I believe it is, yeah, Psalm 89:34. My covenant, and that's recorded, the old and the new covenants, Genesis through Revelation. My covenant will I not break. God will never violate his own word. The scripture cannot be broken. I believe that was Jesus, John 10:35. My covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. That is, and is on record. in the Holy Scriptures, my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. And you know, a man shall not live, Jesus said, by bread alone, but by every word, the spiritual food of the word of God that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And those thoughts, Psalm 33:11, the thoughts of God, the perfect thoughts, Isaiah 55, have proceeded out of his mouth and on record in the Holy Scriptures. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. You know, Jesus attached the highest price tag on trying to alter or definitely altering his words in Revelation 22:18-19, where said, if you add to or take away from the word of God, your name is going to be removed from the book of life. It had the first B in there to be removed from it. And then second of all, you're going to receive the plagues of the book of Revelation, which include the irrevocable destination of the lake of fire. God attaches a very high price tag on anyone who would dare alter one of his words. Every word of God, every single word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Proverbs 20:30, verse 5 and 6. You're going to be found a liar, he said right there. If you ever change God's words, you're going to be the liar. Psalm 12:8-9, I believe it is, or 7-8, or 6-7, he says that he has preserved his word to every generation. And myself, along with millions of other and more everyday believers, believe that has to be the King James Bible. All of these other so-called Bibles that came thereafter had to change the content of God's word in order to get a copyright so that they could earn royalties. They are a laughable, cheap counterfeit, saints. I want to encourage you. We've got a large cache, C-H-E, cache of information on this topic. Bible version something. Anyway, there's another word. Issue, yeah. Bible versions issue category on safeguardyoursoul.com. So I want to exhort you to get a King James Bible, use the King James Bible only, and stay away from these counterfeits. ESV, we've got this all exposed on the website. The ESV is a laughable fraud. The English Standard Version, I guess, you know, the New King James is a fraud. The NIV, NASB, nearly every new version is an absolute corruption of the Word of God and has changed the Word of God. The NIV, for example, has removed 64,000 words from God's Word. The NIV, the HarperCollins company that publishes it, also publishes the Satanic Bible. Okay, so in order to try to more thoroughly, you know, explore what we're looking at here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 about the weapons of our warfare, I want to read a little bit out of the Believer's Bible Commentary, kind of skim it and see if some additional light will touch you. In the ministry, we are to directly read the Word of God to the people. This is Nehemiah 8:8 principle, I call it. And also to give the sense thereof in light of the whole of Scripture. And so that's the duty of a minister, and that's what we want to endeavor to do. Before we go into that, I wanted to say thank you, a huge thank you to those that are supporting this ministry. Your love gifts are absolutely vital and a blessing. We've got Brother Jason, who is extremely educated and skilled and a dear brother in Christ that has been working feverishly around the clock on the website. People don't see what goes on in the background of a website, but to say that it is a project, a lifetime project, is probably an understatement. There's just no explaining, other than if you're an IT guy, how much goes into that. Let me just put it that way. You know, in the last 6 months, over 2 million people have been on safeguardyoursoul.com, and we are so blessed. And if that was only 2 people or 1 person, it makes it all worth it. But God is using the site to reach people from all over the world and to minister his word, because every page on safeguardyoursoul.com is filled with scripture. So we give God the glory for that. Amen. Thank you for your support, and we would invite you, if you're not supporting, to consider doing that. You can do a one-time gift, or you can do a monthly gift, auto debit. And that's on safeguardyoursoul.com/donate. There's a donate button. And thank you so much. God bless you. Okay, so a Believer's Bible Commentary, speaking of our main passage here in 2 Corinthians 10, he talks about here, a thought is that although the apostles were living in bodies of flesh, they did not wage The Christian warfare according to the flesh are fleshly methods or motives. The weapons of the Christian's warfare are not carnal. The Christian, for instance, does not use swords or guns or the strategy of modern warfare in spreading the Christian gospel from shore to shore, but those are not the only carnal weapons of which the apostle is speaking. The Christian does not use wealth, glory, power, fluency, or cleverness to accomplish his aims. Rather, he uses methods that are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Faith in the living God, prayer, and obedience to the Word of God are the effective weapons of every true soldier of Jesus Christ. It is by these that strongholds are pulled down. Amen. This verse, he finishes, tells us, that's verse 5, what is meant by strongholds in verse 4? Paul saw himself as a soldier, warring against the proud reasonings of man, arguments which oppose the truth. The true character of these arguments is described in the expression against the knowledge of God. It could be applied today to the reasonings of scientists, evolutionists, philosophers, and religionists who have no room for God in their scheme of things. The apostle was in no mood to sign a truce with these people that he just mentioned. Rather, he felt committed to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. All men's teachings and speculations must be judged in light of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul would not condemn human reasoning as such, but would warn that we must not allow our intellects to be exercised in defiance of the Lord and in disobedience to Him. And on that note, I wanted to talk about a piece I put together recently. It came to me. I started writing it. You know, today we have several well-known apologists who often appear before secular crowds at universities, etc. They debate with people that call themselves atheists, evolutionists, people who believe in science and all of this stuff. And like the Apostle Paul spoke on in to the Athenians, those from Athens, Greece, and those on Mars Hill, you notice the way he approached it. What's most important is the biblical model of evangelism. That is to give people the Ten Commandments to convict them, no matter what they call themselves on the outside, a Catholic, a Mormon, a rank sinner, just an everyday heathen, an evolutionist, so-called, a atheist or whatever, somebody who believes in science. We're to give them the law. We're to give them the Ten Commandments. According to Romans 7:12, the Ten Commandments, the law of God is holy, just, and good. It convicts people, Romans 7. It's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law is, Galatians 3:24, the law is made for the ungodly to convict the sinner and to bring him to Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1 tells us. So, in my view, placating lost souls with scientific arguments in defense of the faith seems to seldom, if ever, win a lost sinner to Jesus. Have you noticed that? Yet we all get excited to watch these apologists and stuff, but what is it really yielding? Is that really the way to go about evangelizing? I don't think we see that in Scripture. It is the law of God that pierces directly into the consciences of men and pulls down those strongholds and converts the sinner to Christ. In fact, Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 speaks of the law of the Lord. It's perfect and it converts the sinner. Amen. When Paul spoke with the secularists of his day on Mars Hill, he spoke to them of their idolatry. Acts 17:22 through 34, the sin of violating the first two commandments, which say, you shall have no other gods before me. Second commandment, you shall not create any image or bow down to any graven image, etc. Okay, so he addressed their sin. He called them to repentance, and he warned them that judgment day was on the way. This is Acts 17:22 through 34. It's important to do evangelism. It's important to strive according to the rules, if you will, according to the Word of God. Notice 2 Timothy 2, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, that could have more than one aspect to it. One of the aspects could be that we're not to give ourselves to studying anything as we do the Word of God. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. In fact, the apostles said that we must give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word of God. There are things that tempt each of us to be drawn away. I know for me, sometimes it could be these news stories that you see, and I get so mad sometimes, and I know many of you have spoken to do also, obviously, concerning the horrid things that are beginning to go on even more and more increasingly in this world as we look for the soon return of Jesus, who promised that iniquity would abound and the love of many would wax cold. And the reason why the love of many is waxing cold and is going to continue to be people falling away from the faith who were once saved is because they don't set their affection on things above. They set their affection on things on the earth. Jesus forewarned that there would be people whose hearts would fail them for fear because of the things that are going to be happening on the earth. Luke 21:20. So no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully or according to the rules. We got to do these things God's way, or we're going to end up without a heavenly crown in the end. And we're warned over and over in the scriptures to be diligent to make your calling and election sure, to look not to your left hand or to your right, remove your foot from evil, to set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth, to forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before us, and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Also Hebrews 12:1-2, to look unto Jesus, to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us or set us back, and run with patience or endurance and perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And anyone doing that is just rich in the Word of God, in the study of the Holy Scriptures, in an intimate time of prayer alone with God every day, in fellowship with other believers. Amen. So if we strive, we must strive lawfully according to what God has given us in His Word, as we're talking about in this message, saints. Notice the military language here in this passage in 2 Timothy 2:2-5 that we just read. Notice, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Remember, we're in a warfare, and the weapons of our warfare, our main text in 2 Corinthians 10 speaks of the weapons of our what? Warfare. We're in a warfare. We're in a war. Who's going to win that war? You or Satan? Who is it that's going to win? You must strive lawfully. You must do things God's way. You must trust and no other way. Trust in the Lord, not yourself, with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding in all your ways, all of them. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Amen. Be not wise in thine own conceit. That's Proverbs 3:5-7. So as our dear veterans understand, you must go to boot camp, and there you are. You get off working. You get to learn. You get entrenched in the way of military life. If you're a soldier in the Army, if you're a Marine, if you're a naval personnel, you're going to be thoroughly trained for your military occupational specialty, MOS, right? When you hear veterans talk, sometimes they'll ask each other, you know, hey, what was your MOS, your military occupational specialty? Your special operation, that is, to do your job lawfully, correctly, according to the rules of your particular branch of the military, whether you're involved in grunt work like the 0311 Marines, hoorah to them. That's the backbone right there. Logistics, if you're an officer, if you're air wing, I was in the air wing in avionics, or supplying the troops. What an incredibly vital job they do to supply the troops with ammunition and food, etc. Whatever it is that you're called to do and you're being trained to do according to that which is given to you and the knowledge that you're learning in your military branch, you're to do it accordingly. There is no room for variance. You do it exact. When I was in the Marine Corps, they were still killing people in boot camp. They don't put with a batted eye. I don't know what it is now. I know that our military has been feminized, but I can tell you when I went in, it wasn't that long after Vietnam, and there was zero variance. You needed to know your weapon in boot camp so well that you could take it apart and put it back together in 2 minutes or less. And there was a lot of pieces to that M16, a lot. And so that's an analogy of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ and striving according to the rules, if you will, 2 Timothy 2, is know your weapon. And that would be know the Word of God, because that is the weapon of your warfare. Now, we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about the name of Jesus as weapons. But the main one is the Word of God we're talking about, because the knowledge of everything else comes from the Word of God. And you have to know the Word of God so well. In fact, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance all things that He's taught you. John 16, 13, and 14, I believe it is. You see, what has God taught you through the study of the Word of God? That's what He can bring back to your remembrance. But you got to put it in there first in order to, and in keeping with, striving according to the rules, striving lawfully in the kingdom of Christ. And as you are engaged in battle and warfare daily with the enemy. And before we transition a little bit here, you know, I was talking about these guys that can get up there and give a defense. And I mean, I'm not taking away from them so much, but I don't think the way they're approaching things, in my estimation, from what I see in Scripture, not only the way Jesus and the apostles function, but from what the Word of God directly says, that we're to use the law to convict sinners. I don't ever hear that from most of them. They're, you know, debating with these lost souls who endlessly want to debate you because they're, you know, subverted in their own mind. They're convoluted. And most of them are going to never going to repent. They're certainly not going to repent if we're not giving them the law of God to convict them. It's the law that convicts them, not us, not our fancy arguments. Whatever we have to say is not sanctioned as holy scripture by the Lord. Let God be true and every man a liar. God's word is the highest divine authority. And when we speak God's word verbatim, that's why I highly recommend you memorizing scripture. There's a power, a divine force there that's going to minister what God wants it to minister, according to Isaiah 55:11. When you sow the word of God, it never returns back to Him void, right? Isaiah 55 verse 11. Again, our thoughts are not His thoughts. Same chapter, same passage. His thoughts are not, His are higher than ours, the scripture says. And so are His words. My words aren't divinely inspired, but when I'm reading God's words, when I'm simply echoing or being a messenger of what He said, that carries a force, a strength, a conviction, a sort of the spirit effect on the hearts of men as coming straight from heaven. So shall my word, notice His word, not mine. So you see, here's the thing. We're trying to explain God to people instead of just preaching to them God's word and let Him open their hearts and enlighten them and convict them and bring them to Himself. And I believe it's very possible, and I'm being nice about it, that we're very much wise in our own conceits. You know, you hear these young preachers say, let me share my heart with you. Listen, I don't want to hear your heart. I don't want to hear my heart. My heart, your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, right? Proverbs is at 28:26, Jeremiah 17:9. Let's just go ahead and share God's heart, because He recorded the thoughts of His heart in His counsel, the counsel of His written word, Psalm 33:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So God gives us His promise that His will is going to be accomplished one way or the other when we release His word. We speak His word into the hearts of men. So in order to have the thoughts of God written upon the tables of our hearts, we need the pure word of God. Again, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. He prayed to the Father, thy word is truth. John 17:17. Also John 15:3. Now, He told His disciples, are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you? Now are you clean? If you want a clean slate in the word, the pure word of God written and being the image that you have of God, so it's the correct imagination, you must study to show yourself approved, beloved, to daily wake up and diligently study the words of God. The washing of water by the word is going to transpire in your life as you are richly filled every day with the word of God. You know, when you go to eat, you always eat physical food enough to keep you energized and full of all of those vital nutrients for many hours, right? And so that should be the same thing when we wake up in the morning. Instead of reading just a little bit like a snack, I mean, we certainly, most of us don't do that with our bodies, right? Americans are overweight. So we know we've been overfilling on physical food. But Job said, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Job chapter 23, verse 12. I want to encourage you to memorize the words of God. As you read the Bible each and every morning, I want to encourage you to capture. Don't just read through it and go, oh, that was amazing, and then forget where it was or what it said. Capture, harvest certain scripture truths that stand out to you and memorize them, whether it be part of a verse, a whole verse, or several verses. A lot of people like to memorize whole chapters. One thing's been very beneficial to me, I know, is to know what each chapter of the Bible is actually speaking of. What is the main topic of, let's say, for instance, Romans 14? What is it? Non-essentials versus essentials, and how we're not to judge others on things that are not essential to salvation, right? Should immediately think Romans 14 when that topic comes up. How about Revelation 21, the New Jerusalem, in great detail? Revelation 21. How about Matthew 23? That's where Jesus is absolutely lambasting the phony Pharisees of his day. Jeremiah 23. Also, the prophet, God through this prophet Jeremiah, is exposing the false pastors and false prophets among his people, which are there today. Also, in Ezekiel 34, same thing. False prophets exposed. How about Genesis 3? That's the fall of mankind, right? How about Genesis 1 and 2? That's the creation. Amen. You see what I'm saying there? It's important that we become resourceful in the words of God, not only for our own ability to go back and study and know where it is and restudy it, to reprove it, if you will, but also to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and godly fear. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And notice, as we're armed and dangerous with the word of God, we have a greater arsenal as far as the weapons of our warfare to use in this spiritual warfare that we engage in or engaged in this war for the souls of men. And it's not those weapons after the flesh. The Bible says men of God are not to be brawlers. I mean, Jesus and his apostles are never seen hitting anyone. God's the gospel of Christ was not furthered and advanced by any physical means, if you will. Remember, though, we walk in the flesh. Our main text today is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, as we read it earlier. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, beloved. We don't war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are the word of God, their prayer, and the name of Jesus. And we're mainly concentrating on the word of God with this one. Maybe we'll touch on the other two here in just a minute as we begin to come down for a landing here. But the weapons of our warfare are God's word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. And they're mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, not only the destruction of false notions and doctrines and philosophies in our own minds, but also in the minds of others as we're filled with the Holy Ghost and preach the word of God under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You see, Jesus demonstrated exactly what the weapons of our warfare, quote unquote, are when he faced Satan in the wilderness. You'll remember that Satan tempted Jesus in three times with three different temptations, and Jesus always said to all three of them, "It is written." He responded with the written. This is even Jesus doing that, okay? He set the example. "It is written." He gave the word of God, which is the final authority, and Satan had to leave him because Satan cannot pass the word of God. He is under the authority of the word of God. You know, I read something recently. I kind of liked it. The demons know you have authority. They just hope you don't know. They're hoping you don't find out that you have the authority of the name of Jesus, the ability only the body of Christ has, the ability of prayer to go before the Father of lights to pray for everything that concerns them and everything on this earth, and also the Word of God, which we're talking specifically about here. David, who was first a worshiper before, and which led him to become a man who was a warrior. David was a mighty warrior for the Lord. But first he was a worshiper. See, it's only the worshipers who God uses as his warriors. His life, David's, is a great example for the New Testament saint. David was learning to walk with the Lord, faithfully seeking him in the pasture as he tended to the sheep. His arsenal was building as he worshiped God diligently and daily in private. And because he truly knew and sought the Lord, having been diligently training for warfare, the Lord, who is a man of war, Exodus 15:3, directed him in choosing the specific ammo from his arsenal to take out Goliath. And that's what Jesus did. He spoke specific scripture when he said, "It is written," to Satan, as he addressed the temptations that were put before him by the enemy. Let's talk about, before we close here, so much can be said here, but we have a spiritual warfare category on safeguardyoursoul.com. It is flat out loaded with a variety of scripture-rich, Christ-centered resources, beloved. All right, so the weapons of our warfare, they're the Word of God. That's what we've been talking about, the Word of God primarily. Also, prayer, and then persistent prayer. Men are always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1-8. Persistence in prayer is a weapon of God. Amen. Jesus taught perseverance in prayer. Also, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We're not going into detail with these other two as we did with the Word of God, but I'm putting a bug in your ear. Also, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will the Father do." Amen. John 14:13-14 and 16:23-24. We see throughout the book of Acts where the apostles cast out devils in the name of Jesus. In fact, it says that this man was made whole, the man that was raised up at the Gate Beautiful, who had been lame from his mother's womb. I believe he was 38 years old, and he was raised up by the apostles through the name of Jesus. Notice Acts 3:16, in his name, that is the name of Jesus, his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him, the man who was once lame, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all, this power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in the vehicle of prayer and in the name of Jesus. Those are the three general weapons of our warfare. And enjoy this time, saints, and pray that God will lighten the eyes of our understanding, as the Apostle Paul prayed here in Ephesians 1 as we close, beginning in verse 16. Paul says, He ceased not to give thanks for you, the body of Christ, making mention of you in my prayers, he said, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him, that's Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and you're Your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.